on the ages to live. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry,
Good morning. We want to welcome you to the Mallory Church of God. Thank each one of you for getting up this morning a little bit extra, a little bit earlier, and getting out for Sunday school. We want to thank you for that. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms, grandmothers out there. We want you to know that we appreciate you. But we're going to kind of continue down a path this morning, trying to start a little bit late, giving people a little bit more time to get in here, and I know they will, today being Mother's Day and all. I know they're taking pictures out there and this, that, and other, but we want to go ahead and get started with the Sunday school lesson this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about something that we kind of set down a little bit a couple weeks ago about the miracles of Elisha. And if you guys remember, as we talked about Elisha last couple weeks ago, we talked about the specifically, basically the start of his ministry, which took place with a double portion, if you will. And I've always had a drawing. I've always had a liking to the story of Elijah and Elisha. I've always enjoyed reading about it, studying about it, and all those things. But we're going to talk a little bit this morning about specifically if you want to get your Bibles, because we're going to be in this chapter predominantly. 2 Kings chapter 4 is where we'll be at, 2 Kings chapter 4, because there's several stories that take place about the life of Elisha in this one chapter. And so this one chapter holds quite a bit in general. But soon as Elisha receives the mantle falls and the double portion and all those things take place, he begins to move pretty quickly, Terry, in the ministry. That being said, anybody here at all can pretty well appreciate that and understand that, plain and simple, when God's got something for you to do, it's time to get to it. There's no time like the present. We know now that the Lord is coming back soon, and we have a job to do for this city, and we need to be witnessing to people and doing everything we can to encourage people to make their way to the Lord. But Elisha, pretty well, Brother Joe, starts from the word go. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about. And a couple of the miracles is what we're going to really go into this morning, how they relate to us, how important they are. How many people here today can absolutely say there's been times in your life that it took a little extra faith because you were going through something? Okay? Absolutely. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about things like that today. We're going to talk about Elisha in general. But I'm going to ask somebody to read for me if you don't care. Brother Joe, you care to read for me? In 2 Kings chapter 4, read verses 1 through 7, please. Go right ahead, brother. Whatever you want. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. We're talking this morning about the miracles of Elisha, starting with something very, very important. We're going to talk about the oil in here in a minute, but we're going to kind of talk initially, right out of the block, so to speak, to basic needs. How many of you know that your struggle, your situation, really does matter to God? If it matters to you, it matters to God. So that being said, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking necessarily, Pearl, about some big over-spiritual topic here. Her husband has died, Vicky, and she's in a financial strait. There's debt, and if we don't pay this, there's going to be slavery here. Now, we don't understand that nowadays because if someone passes away, pretty much, that's pretty well it. The family, you know, pretty well, unless, you know, there's a situation with a lien or something like that. But pretty much, if somebody passes away, the debt's pretty well just written off, and it is what it is. But that wasn't what it was here. There was a debt, so the family was going to have to settle up. And if they couldn't settle up, they were going to become slaves. That's pretty important. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that would cause a little bit of concern to me. And I never did understand this cultural norm, because and this wasn't just in Israel today. This was pretty prevalent in a lot of cultures back in those days of slavery when it comes to debt. But I never could understand that, for the fact of how in the world are you going to pay off the debt if you're a slave? If you really wanted the money, You know what I mean? Then we can set up some kind of payment plan, and I can work and pay it off. You know what become? You become their slave. Plain and simple. So that was a very harsh way to deal with that. That being said, without the oil that the Lord is going to provide, slavery was going to be their due. Okay? So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. And notice what it says. Now, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" And I got to be honest with you, that's kind of a crazy question. I think she pretty well, he should have knew that. But he's still asking it. I don't think he's asking it because he don't have an answer, but I think he's establishing something here, okay? And it goes on, it says, "Tell me what you have in the house." Okay? Jennifer, what he's saying is, okay, you have a need, and you're pretty destitute, obviously, but tell me what you got to work with. That's what he's saying. What do you have to work with? Let's establish, what do you have to work with? See, because a lot of people are like the widow woman. We feel like we ain't got nothing that God can use. So what the prophet is saying is, what do you have that we can work with here? Tell me what you got in the house. Okay, can I tell you something right now? Just because you think you don't have something God can use, listen, you don't have the whole clue of it. God can use you. Okay, God can take the smallest things and make it big with his increase. Amen? Paul said, "One waters and one sows, but God gives the increase." Anybody that gardens or anything like that, I know Pearl and her husband love to garden. You can go till the ground. You can do everything you're supposed to do, prepare the soil, plant the seeds, cover them up, do everything you can do. But you know what? I've never seen Pearl out there on her hands and knees just to make that seed grow. It ain't going to happen. She can do her part, but God's going to have to give the increase for that seed to come up out of the ground and begin to grow. So that being said, he asked her, "What do you have? What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Have nothing in the house, Pat, except a jar of oil. That's it. That's pretty bad. She's in a bad spot. All I've got is a jar of oil. So let me put this in our modern language, okay? I don't understand the scripture as good as some people do. I'm pretty busy. And I really can't study like I wish I could. And it's legit. I've got three kids running around. Got my hands full. On top of that, I'm not a preacher. I can't play an instrument. If I sung, everybody would leave. What do I have? I ain't got much in the house here. What can God do with me? You got a little bit of oil. He had a jar of oil. If you've been saved, guess what? You got a little bit of oil. Holy Spirit is the oil. Okay? All it takes is your willingness to allow God to use your jar, and he's going to provide what needs to come out of that jar, church. All she had was a little jar of oil. Can I tell you right now, God don't need your ability. He's asking for your availability. Are you willing to allow, are you willing to speak up first of all and say, "Lord, I have a jar of oil. I don't know what you need it for, but Lord, I'll let you use it whatever you need it. Lord, use me however you want me to be used." It turned out to be a jar of anointing oil. Absolutely. So, Cheryl. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. So there's people out there that are struggling. There's people out there that need prayer. Just being available And see, God put you in that spot at that exact same time for her. You know what I mean? That is so wonderful. God does things like that. But are we willing to wake up every day and say, Lord, here's a jar of oil. Put me where you want me today. And Lord, you use it. Amen? So that's what it is. And then goes on, the Bible says, then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. So in other words, go get all you can get, Ray. Go ask everybody that's got to spare, can I borrow some jars? Give me some pots, give me some pans. You got some empty Coke bottles, some Mountain Dew bottles, I'll take those too. I need as many containers as I possibly can get. You got Tupperware, that's great. But I need some containers. The man of God says, I need containers, so I'm going to go do that. So what they have to do? They first have to be obedient. They first have work to do. Can I tell you something right now? Sometimes we want a breakthrough, but we don't think we ought to have to do anything. That's the truth. We want God to move on us, come up here, somebody lay hands on us, Holy Spirit move, and it just fixes it, Vicki. Like a magic wand just waved over top of it. It can't happen that way. I've seen it happen. I've seen people delivered and things that way. It absolutely can happen that way. But can I tell you something? The majority of the time, you've got some work to do. Many times, most times, I'll say this, most times, we struggle with things. We struggle with strongholds, Ray, because we've got wrong thinking. Wrong thinking is created by the adversary in absence of the truth of God's word. If we all knew what God's word said about that, Satan couldn't tell us a lie, could he? If a car salesman comes up to you and tells you this is a good deal, Pat, and you don't have a clue if it's a good deal or not, he can bully you pretty easy. If you just left the car lot and the same car was $5,000 cheaper, you can look at him and say, that ain't a good deal, buddy, because I know the truth. The truth will set you free, okay? So a deliverance comes when we know the truth. God can establish it. God can bring the breakthrough, the yoke, the anointing, all those things. But we got some work to do, folks. I'm going to tell you what my daddy used to say. Dad, I ain't got much money. Got any money, Dad? No, I ain't got no money, but I tell you what I do got. I got a lawnmower and a weed eater out there. You want some money? Use that lawnmower and that weed eater. Go try to get you some money. And that's what I did. So in other words, I found out at a pretty young age that if I needed something, then I needed to do something. Okay, so as Christians, let's not be lazy. Lay around in the summer when you wasn't at school, complaining about not having no money, grab the weed eater and hit the hillside. If you're older, grab the riding lawn mower. Hillside might be a little bit too hard. I don't want the hillsides no more. I tried to get away from that myself. That being said, it says, go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went in from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. So in other words, first thing she does is she's obedient. She goes and gets the vessels. She does the legwork. The legwork. That's something we all seem to be in our society today. We're a little bit afraid of doing legwork. Okay? She does the legwork. She acts in obedience. And then, ready for this? She does what the man of God says. She follows the directions. When you get it, go shut the door and get to work. She takes the exact directions and she moves in the exact directions that God wanted her to do. Are you ready for this? If you want a breakthrough, then you've got to move in the directions that God gives you to do. It don't happen just because, by happenstance. In other words, God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to pour into me and let me just give somebody a word. Lord, I want to understand Scripture, Lord. I want you to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. My dad said, son, you're old enough to where your wants won't hurt you. We say we want that. But do we really want to do what it takes to get that? Are we following the directions? Lord, I want to move into the next stage of ministry you have for me. Have you completed the task I've gave you already? Why in the world would I entrust you with more responsibility if you haven't first done the first thing that I asked you to do? So before the breakthrough happens, before the miracle happens, they got to first do the legwork, got to move in obedience to the directions that the man of God gave them. We have a Bible now. Got to move in the directions that God gives us, don't we? God says to do this, do this. God says don't do that, we shouldn't be doing that. So we've got directions, don't we, Joe? And then the Bible says something miraculous then happens when the Holy Spirit meets their willingness, meets their obedience. Willingness could be faith. Something miraculous happens. And the Bible says in verse 4 and 5, so she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons, and as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. The oil didn't stop flowing until she didn't have no more vessels to contain it. So in other words, there's plenty of oil out there for everybody. But are you a vessel that wants to contain it? That's good stuff right there. I hope that excites you because it gets me a little pumped up a little bit. That's not saying that you're doing anything wrong, but here's the thing, here's the point of it. The oil, the Holy Spirit, is always flowing. He's always moving. If you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, if you're down in the valley, whatever you want, you need a pick-me-up, so to speak, guess what? God ain't got the spigot turned off of the Holy Spirit. The oil is flowing. Get underneath the flow. That's the truth. Get under the flow. The oil continued to come as long as the vessels was there to receive it. So that's what God, what is God telling us today through this thing? Guess what? I've got something for you. You can have as much as you want as long as you contain it, as long as you want to step underneath the flow. That's it. Every single person here that's called Jesus Lord, that has accepted Jesus as Savior, you're a vessel. God is able to pour and pour and pour until you can't hold no more. And guess what? He'll keep pouring, Vicky. There's been times he's poured where I couldn't hold it no more and it come out of me. Don't you love that? You think Michael Rourke takes off running because he wants exercise? Michael's getting a little bit older. I promise you that. It ain't because of that. It's because the Spirit just keeps coming and coming and coming, and he can't hold it no more. It's got to go somewhere. Somebody's praising the Lord, and they start praising God in tongues. Guess what? It's overflowing. It's got to come out somewhere. That's all it is, folks. But the Bible says that they shut the door. That's going to be a continual theme here in this chapter, by the way. They shut the door. They got in private places with God. Thank you. As Brother Joe said, if you couldn't hear it in the back there, the Lord tells us to go into our prayer closet. Shut the door. And your Heavenly Father, who hears you in secret, will reward you openly. Amen. That's what the Bible says, what Jesus says. So what do? They receive the word. And their condition called for slavery. They receive the word. They move in obedience. They gather the vessels. They close the door. They get in secret places with God. And the oil continues to flow until they didn't have no more vessels that could contain it. In other words, the source was plentiful. God's plentiful. God's got plenty for you. The problem ain't going to be with God. The problem's going to be whether or not we get underneath the flow. Whether or not we carry the vessels to the occasion, Brother Ray. Are you ready for this? The oil ended the slavery. Let me say that again in case you don't understand that. The Holy Spirit ends the slavery. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're slave to sin right now. If you just gave your life to the Lord before you got saved, you were a slave to sin. When you got saved, guess what happened? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and the oil freed you from slavery. Ain't that good? So the oil is what brought them the relief. And it goes on, and you would think, man, that's pretty good right there. But then we go on to another situation with Elisha. Like I said, chapter 4 of 2 Kings is chock full of good stuff. It goes on into the very next few verses, verses 8 through 17. Can I get somebody to read for that? Anybody? Oh, you're a good-looking crowd. I'll call Joe in a second. Come on, Joe. Verses 8 through 17, brother. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. So next we move on straight from the widow woman to the Shunammite woman. Boom, boom. Chock plum full. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Shunammite woman. But here's what's happened. Here you've got a woman and her husband. And they don't have no children. And in the nation of Israel, that was a bad thing because there was no Social Security, folks. There wasn't none. As you got older, it was up to your children to take care of mom and dad. So that was very important, okay? Don't let that be lost on you. But here, this woman, this little woman in a way reminds me, Brother Ray, of Abraham with Sarah when the Lord visits Sarah and gives her the news that she's going to have a child. But now there's two different reactions here, okay? Sarah is in unbelief. She laughs, okay? There's a laugh, an unbelief comes from Sarah. In other words, this, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. I'm like 90 years old. Yeah, okay. Those days have been long gone. You know, ain't no way. That's Sarah. The Shunammite woman is not unbelief. It's fear of disappointment. It's not, it ain't going to happen. Hers is, don't you be kidding me. Don't play with me like that. Because she trusted God's word and she trusted the word of the prophet. She believed the word that was being given. Don't you play with me like that now. Okay? So what happens is Elisha and his servant is coming around. Every time that they come around, this woman and her husband entreat them kindly. So much, Pearl, that they built a little extra room for them. Which tells you they probably had a lot of money. It's just the truth. But they built, and they're out in the fields and stuff of that nature. But they care so much, and they trust God, and they believe the word of God, and they serve the Lord to the point that, you know what? We're going to honor God, and we're going to honor the man of God. Anytime you come by this way, you come here, you're welcome here. We've got a roof over your head, a bed for you to sleep in, and we'll feed you. That's what they're saying. We'll take care of you. Anytime you're in any area, you're welcome here. So as a result, notice Elisha said, what's her situation? Now, keep in mind, the double portion, the mantle's done fail, but God didn't tell him what it was. Is there anything I can do for her? He's awful good to us. Anybody, anything? Anything she needs? And the servant, well, you don't have no kids. Okay, her come here. And Elisha tells her, and her words are not like Sarah's.
Yeah, right.
It's, don't you be lying to me. Don't you be playing with me now. That was her words. Her initial thing was fear. Can I tell you something? Fear will always do battle with faith. Okay? Anytime something happens, a word is spoken over you, or you have faith, or you're praying and believing in something, there'll be something that'll happen that'll be a little contrary to that. And there's that moment in time where you go, well, I guess it ain't going to happen. Or you're going to go, don't you be lying to me. Don't you be lying to me. In other words, Lord, this looks bad. I'm a little bit older. My husband's a little bit older. We probably shouldn't be having kids, Terry. But I believe the word, and I believe the prophet, and I believe God more than I do my own internal clock. That's what she's saying. She's literally saying, don't you be lying to me, don't you be kidding me. What she's saying is, because I know what you say is going to happen. She believes the word. You understand that? Fear rose up in defense or to do battle with her belief in the word. That's what it was. You understand? So if the word says these things about you, then they are true. If the word says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, then that is the truth. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. They ready for this? They will be formed against you, but they will not prosper. You understand that? God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So when fear rises up initially, that initial fear, that's what happens. It's initial. It's initial. Boom, something happens. You get the news. The fear raises up. Lord, I know that. I know where that's from. That ain't from you. Just drop back here for a second. Lord, your word says you don't give me that. So I know that's from the devil. But Lord, I'm going to rest in your peace right now. That is contrary to the word that I have been given. That is contrary to your word. I'm going to choose to believe your word over this fear right now. That's what the situation was. The difference between the Shunammite woman and Sarah is Sarah laughed in unbelief. The Shunammite woman was battling fear versus the word. Can I tell you something now, church? We all do that from time to time. Don't be casting stones at the Shunammite woman. Have you ever had a situation, got some news, and the initial thing was fear? Raise your hand if it's ever happened to you. See, you ain't alone. Mm-hmm. Come on. Bless her, Lord. That's right. That's right. And you done went through that before. And you lost. Yes. Sure. Sure. But God. But God. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Right. Fear can be initial. Faith is sustaining. That's the difference, okay? Listen, don't be ashamed if you initially feel fear. That's human nature. That's a basic human emotion. You get bad news, fear is going to hit you. But what you do with that fear determines your next step. Fear is a liar. Fear is a demonic spirit. It just is. It's not of God. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. The Bible labels what it is. Fear is a spirit of fear. And God didn't give it, so it's not of God, Jennifer. Then who's it from? It's from the adversary. So if God, once I feel that fear, then I have to immediately, because I know the word, can go, whew. Sure. A lot of opportunities for the devil to try to move in there with fear. Sure. Amen. And the Bible says, same with you, literally, same with you, as the Scripture says. And he said, at this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. He said, no, or, and she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant. Don't you be doing this. But the woman conceived, and she bore a son that time of the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. So we all know that it takes a 9-month gestation period for a child. So that tells me within 3 months, that woman conceives that son. But for 9 months after that, a year total, what Amber's just saying there, fear has an opportunity to creep, try to come back in there. I'm old. Maybe I can't carry this child to full term. Maybe the devil's going to come in and say this about you. But you know what? I have this word from the prophet. I have this word from God that says I'm going to bear a son. Guess what? I'm holding steady that this child is going to be born. Right. That's right. Exactly right. Yes. Yes. Pure raw faith. Absolutely right. My question to each of you this morning is this. If you've ever been in a situation where fear seemed to be consuming, what did you do with it? I asked you that this morning. What did you do with it? Give it to God? Did you pray? Did you open the Bible? What did you do with it? Can I tell you something? Because here's another thing about it. Elisha wasn't the one that recognized she didn't have the child. It was the servant. The same one, the same servant, later on ain't going to see the chariots of fire. But he saw the obvious in front of him. Can I tell you something right now? It kind of goes back to what I preached on last week a little bit. When it says this, you need to have good women and men of God around you. There's strength in numbers. You understand that? If one don't detect what the problem is, the other can say, hey, have you considered this? I was praying, guess what? God showed me this about you. Guess what? I was reading the scripture the other day and a verse came to me and God said, I need to give it to you. You need to have people around you that are God-filled people that can pour into you. That guess what? Sometimes when you don't recognize what's right in front of your face, they do. We need those type of people. We need a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every single one of us needs one of those people in our lives. The adversary will raise up people in your walk to deter your faith. I'm telling you right now, he will. He will absolutely put somebody at work that absolutely aggravates the guts plumb out of you. He'll give you the boss that is absolutely the worst one on the section. He'll give you the situation that just don't seem like, why in the world did that land in my lap? The customer that can't be pleased. You ever had that? If you ever deal with the public, hey, some people you can't please. I'm convinced, Jeremiah, there's some people when the Lord talks to them that they're going to ask questions to him and second guess him. If Jesus can't please him, ain't no way Teddy Dean can. They don't need me try. But the point being is you need people in your life to help combat that. You need people in your life ready also that will help ground you. Amen. What I mean by that is this. In love, I say this. You need people in your life that help hold you accountable. That will call you out in a kind way, one-on-one, personally, not openly. That'll say to you, I love you, sissy. You know you and me's friends. But I've noticed something. We need to talk. Hey, brother. I've been noticing something. Can we maybe get together and me and you talk a little bit? Still, we need to have a talk. Just you and me. We need those people in our lives. God raises those people up. And they ain't just the pastor or church leader. They're your friends. They're your neighbor. They're your prayer warriors that go to battle with you. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's sometimes God will send a saint somewhere else or from somewhere else to give you a word. Which is, as Pastor Walker was teaching a couple weeks ago, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're there for the body of Christ. God gives somebody a word. The Holy Spirit gives somebody a word to share with you. What does it do? It edifies you. That's what the gifts do. Yeah. But now the Shunammite woman, you're going to have Leanne come on up here in a minute to take prayer requests. The Shunammite woman goes from fear to this point, battling that, to next week, or here shortly, we're going to pick back up and talk about what happens when your worst fears come true. Amen? But we're going to end that right there. Listen, today's Mother's Day, okay? That being said, like I said earlier, I want to wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. But here at the church, we feel that God is moving, as you guys can see, in the lives of families. And as I said in group, on Monday night, the Lord spoke something to me. I shared it with Pastor already. And it's kind of odd that I'm saying this on Mother's Day, because we kind of had started moving in this direction a little bit already. Then I hear this word, Vicki, as we're sharing this. Brother Josh and Kayla done an excellent job leading group Monday night. And here's what the Lord said. I chose sons and daughters. I chose sons and daughters. So who are you to think that a woman can't do that? I chose sons and daughters. So we're going to follow the Lord's leaning there. Here on Mother's Day, we're going to take that prayer request because they matter. We don't just shove them in there because they don't matter, because they do matter. But I'm going to ask Sister Leanne to come and take up prayer requests.